Ask me, what are the options on moving SAP to Azure Cloud?
All right, so there are a couple of options available. We know is that lift and shift, lift and migrate, then also greenfield implementation and a brownfield implementation, right? So it really depends on the existing environment that you have. And then what are the versions of SAP that you are running on-premise, right? Just to show you what I mean, the options that's available, the option A is known as lift and shift. So this generally, when we use this particular scenario, it means that you have existing environment which is running on x86 architecture, and you could just move that to the cloud. Because on the cloud also you're running on x86 architecture, okay? The second option is lift and migrate. Now, this is something a bit tricky because lift and migrates means you could change the operating system on the destination, or you could change the database, right? A classic example of this would be if you're migrating AIX, SAP running on AIX system with, example, let's say Oracle database. Okay, and when you move to the cloud, you're going to migrate that to a SUSE or a Red Hat Linux with the same database, right? So that would mean that you are converting the entire system to a different destination of operating system and the architecture as well. So that we know as lift and migrate. So when we do SAP migration, the lift and migrate has a couple of things we know as homogeneous migration and heterogeneous migration, right? So lift and shift cloud applies to homogeneous migration, which means the exactly operating system and the database is maintained from the source to the target, right? Heterogeneous migration may be used for many instances if lift and migrate, so you change the source and the destination, right? So in Sri Lanka, the item number C, which call about lift and shift and migrate as part of HANA conversion, we actually don't do that. The reason why is we don't have a data center in Sri Lanka, Azure data center in Sri Lanka. We use the one which is closest to us, which is Southeast Asia, and that has very good latency. But we can't do because there's so much of, it actually depends on the environment. The bigger the database, the more capacity of internet that you need in order to transfer those data to the system, to HANA, do a conversion, right? So ideally, we don't do that here. We basically do a lift and shift or a lift and migrate, and we do a HANA conversion, right? D is straightforward, means that you have any system which could be a non-SAP, and that can be transferred as a greenfield deployment or a re-implementation of entire system.
There's an initiative called Embrace between Microsoft and SAP. What it means for customers?
Right. So Embrace initiative is very new. It started in January. And what it does is it allows Microsoft and SAP to work together in order to standardize on the architectures, the best practices, and the development and innovation that they do with SAP and Microsoft platforms. Okay. One example is, let's look at the Power BI integration into SAP or Active Directory integration into SAP, right? So these are some of the many instances of that Embrace program. What it does is basically allows to simplify, accelerate, and innovate the correlation between Microsoft Azure platform and SAP as a business application to have a standard practice of implementation, a standardization of architectures, standardization of best practices, and they have an action plan and a strategy towards how the execution of these things happen. So what happens as a customer, what we get out of that is that we get the innovation and the integration between these two systems. And these comes to you as a value addition.
There are different types of virtual machines available on Azure. for different purposes. Are there any special virtual machine types or versions available for SAP on Azure?
Yes. So there are quite a lot of virtual machines, as you know, which are available within Microsoft platform. So for SAP specifically, there are virtual machines that is tested and certified by Microsoft and SAP to run SAP HANA workloads in particular, right? SAP ECC, for example, which is the previous version of SAP, can run in most of the VMs, but as you know, the VMs are categorized into general purpose, memory optimized, compute optimized, right? So when we try to select some of these VMs, it is very important to understand what type of workloads we are running. So one of the most important workloads for you to run SAP is your SAP HANA database. Now, SAP HANA database is certified to run on a series called M-Series. So these are memory optimized virtual machines. So as you can see, this particular graph shows the type of M-Series virtual machine that is available to run your OLAP, OLTP, and OLAP workloads, right? So this is for the HANA database, right? But then you also have applications, HANA applications as well. So let me just clarify between the gray and the blue. So there are, here as you can see, there are generation one and generation two virtual machines. It is fundamentally important that you understand your business requirements 3 to 4 years down the line. So I'll just explain a bit more on that. For example, if your current workloads says that you need a 3 terabyte workload to run SAP HANA, and you try to put a generation one virtual machine, that would limit you in terms of the current capacity at the moment, right? What it means, a generation one virtual machine can go up to 4 terabyte. That's how you can scale up. But a generation two virtual machine starts at 3 terabytes, and then it goes up to 12 terabytes as shown in the graph. So these are the version two virtual machines, right? So going forward, it is always important to understand the type of workloads that you're going to run on the production, right? So some of those points is where I'm going to show in terms of other workloads which we have running. So I just explained to you about SAP HANA, but let me also explain to you about where the other virtual machines come into play, SAP applications. This is one of the most important websites that you look in terms of running SAP workloads. So these are all certified IaaS platforms. So this is SAP document, which is publicly available. And these, they certify the type of virtual machines that is available from Microsoft, right? So if you see these virtual machines, which is starting with V2, this means generation two virtual machines, right? So these are the virtual machines that can scale up to 12 terabytes, okay? The previous generation, which is the M-Series generation, can scale up to 4 TB, right? It comes to a point in the future, for example, if you get to the limit of 4 terabytes, but you need, let's say, to scale up, which means you will have to re-implement the entire system, right? SAP HANA system, right? So it is vital that you understand that and then size it accordingly. So this is pretty much the M-Series. And if you see here down the line, S-Series. So these are very large. These are called SAP large instances. So these are actually physical machines, which Microsoft give you to manage from the Azure cloud itself. But these are physical machines. We don't use it in Sri Lanka. I mean, we don't see that requirement. The architecture is quite different to virtual machines that we use for SAP HANA. But just for this video, I just want to show these are also available. So this is the current I took this today. So this particular SAP article number is where you can actually get access to all the SAP certified virtual machines that has been certified by SAP. So this particular SAP note is accessible if you are an SAP customer or if you are a SAP partner. Right? So this particular SAP node has all the required virtual machines. I'm just going to scroll down a little bit, and you can see all the virtual machines types. And what is very important is to understand the SAP SAPs requirement. So these VMs, which is scroll down, has something called a 2-tier architecture and a 3-tier architecture. A 2-tier architecture in SAP means that both the application and the database can exist in a single virtual machine. A 3-tier architecture means that the database and the application can be on two different systems. Right? So the SAPs requirement here specified is for mostly a 2-tier architecture, but when you design a 3-tier architecture SAP environment, you can there's a note on this that you can multiply it by, for example, 10. So these are all the virtual machines. So you can see there are a lot of virtual machines, okay, which is available for different type of workloads that is run on SAP applications. So it could be SAP architecture has multiple application servers that they can use. So it depends on how you size it and the requirement that you needed from the SAP team. So they will basically tell you, I need application server one, I need this much SAPs. Okay, therefore you have to choose the type of virtual machines. But in recommendations from myself, but what we use mostly are for application servers is D16S V3 series, right? So this type of virtual machines we use heavily. These are very good virtual machines that also allow a premium disk to be added into the systems. So what is important is that when you run production, you have to run premium disk. Okay, there is no option for you to run any standard disk. Standard disks for cost saving can be run for development or even quality environments. There are for certain virtual machines was DS series 12v2. So these type of virtual machines also can be used, but what is also important for you when you are designing a environment is to also understand the licenses that SAP has, right, for a particular customer. Right? Sometimes there are instances that, for example, let's take a SAP application such as the process orchestration. We call it as a PO. So when you purchase that particular licenses, it is based on the vCPU count, right? But ideally, when you look at these virtual machines, you will see that these are two vCPUs, and whether it's 16 GB RAM or 14 GB RAM, it might not be enough to run the PO system because it needs more memory. So at that case, ideally, there are a few other virtual machines which we can use from Microsoft. It's available, but they are still not SAP certified. They will be, because this particular document updates quite frequently. Almost every 2 to 3 weeks, virtual machines get tested, certified by SAP, and they get added into the system, right? So that's about type of virtual machines that we can have.
How about the performance scale with resiliency and availability?
Right. That's a very good question. So so like what we discussed earlier, the Embrace program, if you look at SAP document or if you look at Microsoft reference architecture, they are same, right? Because this is these architectures are certified by Microsoft and SAP, right? So I'm just going to share a SAP document, but you will find exactly the same architecture available on a Microsoft document as well. So this is the architecture for a standard SAP HANA SAP system that is running on Azure. So as you can see, there's a primary region. So there are, as you can see, the network itself is hub and spoke environment. So when you do architecturing for high availability, which means that you do have to provision at least 2 servers. Okay. So you can provision SAP Web Dispatcher Pool 2 servers, Fury front end 2 servers, an application as much of servers you want, and central instances. There is a network file share server, which also runs Linux. and of course the database server. So these can be, if you want, in a high available scenario, you can use Azure zones, availability zones, and configure these virtual machines according to the requirement. Right? In terms of performance, like I explained previously, you need to have premium SSDs available for production use. And there is also a requirement in terms of the architectures where we used to have, if you know our infrastructures, we have something called SAN disks and stripe disks, right? So the performance actually depending on how you architecture that, right? Disks play a vital role because you, Azure can give you ample amount of CPU and ample amount of memory. So the disk structure also becomes a point to give cater to the SAPS requirement by the SAP teams, right? So we have enough power. Also, it is important that we choose the right virtual machine and you understand the limits of each and every single virtual machine, okay? Not about just about the CPU and the memory, but also about the disk throughput requirements and the memory, network requirements as well, right? One good example of this is, let's take, for example, NFS server. So NFS server is a share that allows the application servers in the SAP to have a shared disk where you install that to the NFS server. So you can scale up the application server, but if you don't scale up the NFS server to support that network requirements, you will have a performance issue, right? So you do need to match both across the entire landscape, right? It is the same with the central service cluster. The central service cluster would also require you to scale up depending on the size of the VMs that you're going to increase. The database itself is standard. So you have the standard T-shirt sizing from SAP starting at 192 GB and can scale up all the way to the 12 terabytes, right? So in terms of what we do in Sri Lanka is we most of the time provision SLA of 99.9 for purpose of cost saving. But we also do something called disaster recovery into Hong Kong, right? So ideally what happens is that we replicate all the application servers using Azure Site Recovery, but the database, you have to use HANA asynchronous replication. So the database, since the reason why we have to use another database server on the DR side is because there are a lot of in-memory information which HANA keeps. So you do need to have a database server in your DR side. But ASR can be used for all the other application servers that you have in this architecture.
What are the integration options available with SAP and Microsoft Platform Services?
Right. So, with SAP and Azure Platform, there is a lot of integration that is available. So let's look at the ECC, SAP ECC, which is the previous version, BW for HANA and S4HANA, right? So all of these systems, as you know, Microsoft and SAP has a long history of partnership. It's almost more than 23 years. And Microsoft has been using SAP for a very long time, and they have been a customer for SAP. So they did a lot of integration from those days. But when we look at now, you can see that there are a lot of the cloud service that offers in this scenario. So let me talk about two type of integrations that is available. First of all, first integration is for the business functionality, right? So if you look at the system itself, if you are going to have data taken out into do something called data analytics, you can use Azure Data Factory and Data Catalog and other few other systems that we're able to take those data out of SAP, right? And there are many connectors that is available for ECC, for BW and S4HANA for Microsoft, right? Then the other data is about the data itself. So the data can easily be populated into a SQL Server database, which can be Azure SQL Server database, Azure SQL Data Warehouse, or even the Azure Data Lake. You can also take the data out of SAP systems to Cosmos DB, HD Insight, things like that. And so these are all connectors that is built by Microsoft and SAP for you to allow those portability. There is also other integrations in terms of streaming. So the Azure IoT platform, Azure Event Hub, Azure Streaming Insights. So those are all available as part of the integration within SAP as well. For security and identity access management, definitely Azure Active Directory is integrated with single sign-on and multi-factor authentication if you have. Right? That is available as well. There is a lot of integration from those days of Office. So since the Office 2003, I believe, there was Excel integration. So the BI platform, or BW and BI platform of SAP used Excel to populate reports. So even now you have the support for Office 365, Word and Excel, Teams, M365 available as well directly. In terms of business portability and business integration, so SAP can integrate to Dynamics 365, and you can also use Azure Logic Apps. Right, these are available as well. To discuss further on the analytics itself, there are a lot of other platforms that you can integrate SAP with. Entire SAP architecture can be integrated. One notable one that we use is Power BI. Right? You can also use analytics services, AI and ML. You can integrate to Databricks, chatbots, cognitive services, your HoloLens even can be done. Right? So that what I just discussed is mostly on the fact of the functional teams, the functional of the entire SAP application. But as an IT professional, you can also have a lot of integration to the Azure services that it offers, right? For infrastructure management. One very notable one is the Azure Backup. The Azure Backup is directly integrated into SAP so that you can backup the entire SAP landscape to your block storage, right? So that is one. Then the Insight itself, the application Insight is integrated into this SAP IaaS virtual machines. So I'm going to show a couple of demos how this integration has been done in my environment. So this is one of our demo boxes which we have up and running. So as you can see, it is running on Azure, and I have integrated SAP Insights into it, and you can actually see the SAP HANA database itself is how the Insight map works, right? So we know if any clients are connected to accessing the SAP HANA database, this information can be populated and expanded, right? So, and what services are available as well. In terms of performance, the entire Azure monitor and Insight is available. So you can see the CPU utilization, available memory, the IOPS that you use for disk, even you can read this by each disk, right? All these things are possible by installing Azure extensions from virtual machines, right? I mean, no, I think you guys know quite a lot about that. You can install a lot of extensions for Windows virtual machines. But what I'm going to show you is some of these extensions that we install into the Linux platform to run SAP. Right. So one of the platforms which I discuss about is the Azure Enhanced Monitor for Linux. So this will give you more insight into the Linux platform itself, the network watcher for the network, performance diagnostic, and all of these agents which is available. Right. The Enhanced Monitoring for Linux is also a SAP component, which is again co-built with Microsoft and SAP. This will allow you to monitor the SAP environment as well. So I'm just going to show you the backup, how the backup is being configured. So as you can see here, I have done the standard backup of the virtual machine, right? But what I have done is I have integrated the SAP Azure backup to backup the SAP HANA database, right? So I'm just going to scroll. So as you can see, I have two databases of HANA, which is available on the system. So I backed up both the system database and the HANA database. And if I look at the HANA database, I can see I have already configured a backup policy, which backups daily the HANA database, log files. And you can see this taken backup. When we did not have this functionality, we used to do the manual backup from SAP HANA Studio and put it to the block storage. But now with this integration, you can actually do it directly within Azure. And this backup is actually much more faster than the standard backup. Okay, so there's something really robust because you do not spend additional money on buying backup software and backing up HANA, or the amount of trouble that you have to go to maintaining the backup. Right? So all this can be done from Azure backup. If you want to restore, the restore is also fairly easy, because as you can see, the same console, you can restore. When you restore, you can actually restore to the alternative location of the same machine, or you can actually restore to the same database. You can also select if you want to populate this data into a different HANA box. That is also possible because the system can detect any other HANA box that is available in your subscription, and it will be dropped down here, and you can restore to that particular HANA box as well. So this is quite important when you are doing sometimes the functionality may ask you, okay, I need a backup. I want to test certain functionalities, or I want to apply a particular SAP note into the system, right? So these can be used for testing purposes as well, right? Like clones, for example.
How about the security and regulatory compliance?
Yeah, the security and regulatory compliance is very important because every single customer that has in mind when you are trying to put all of this into the Azure cloud. So as you can see, there is 90 plus certification that Microsoft has in this entire scenario of the trust and the compliance requirements. So globally, you can find that the most important certifications such as ISO 27001, 27018, 17, all of these certifications, SOC compliances, the CSA compliances are available. And regionally also, you can find some of these certifications available as well. Not everything is listed here. For example, there are certifications for if you are running in Dubai, but you can go to this particular website and in the trust website for Microsoft, and you can go and look at every single certification which is available in detail. And you can also see the audits that Microsoft does in the data center. And these audits are also able to view all of the information. Then there are industrial standard certifications as well. So PCI, DSS level 1, NHS certifications, all of these certifications are available. There are specific certifications for the US government. So as you know, there are regions where VMs are available for the government sector as well, right? Which is not available public. So those VMs can be used by different sectors. If you look at the Australian data center, there are about 3 or 4 data centers in Australia, but one of those data centers is dedicated to the Australian government. So that particular data center will have Australia IRAP/ECLSS certification. Same with India, same with Japan and many instances. Now, what is also important is how do we maintain the security of our entire infrastructure that we deploy. So I'm going to go back to my demo environment. So I have integrated the Azure Security Center and Update Management as part of this offering. So it is vitally important that you have to integrate the Security Center into your SAP workloads that you are running. It does not matter if it's development or production or QA, that you do have to integrate this. And update management is one of the best tools that we have, because the licenses that you pay when you purchase an SAP workload on the cloud would also cover your operating system licenses and patching as well, right? So as you can see, just for you to demonstrate, this is a Linux, SUSE Linux environment, and there are missing updates available by the shown by the update management, right? And you can see that if you drill down, there are logarithms integrated. You can go drill down and see exactly what type of updates are need to be managed. You can also do a lot of deployment updates as well in terms of configuration of these updates. What I also want to show you in addition is the entire security center. So once we have the security center, you need to ensure that the minimum, the standard of the security center is in place. Okay, so here I have just loading up the SAP database, the HANA database, which I showed. So as you can see, the security center is integrated. It scans all of these vulnerabilities and it displays on the system. So we use this, I mean, this is a demo box just to show you the type of things that we have. But in production environment, you have a security engineers who monitor this and ensure that all of these controls are in place. So whatever the recommendations which is available by Microsoft Security Center is being looked at very seriously. So this is a HANA database. Usually this is not open to the internet, but we have opened this into the internet because this is a demo box to present it. Because this is, like I said, it's a 2T architecture, which means everything is in single box. But ideally what you do is you have a spread architecture, which is a 3T architecture. And on that 3T architecture, we specifically, if you look at the in SAP architecture, which I showed previously, the web dispatcher is the front end part of it, right? And HANA database sits at the back, and then there are further application servers which stay in front. So anything that is facing internet is looked from the security center. So you can see that if you have certain SAP ports that is open into the internet, those can be hacked in terms of trying to do brute force attacks and things like that, right? So those things are also can be seen in the Azure Security Center. So then you can implement things like Cloudflare or any other IPS and IDS threat protection system for this environment. So these are the recommendations that is available for you.
Ask me, are there any special tools available to do right sizing for optimum cost saving on Azure?
Yes, that's a very good question. A lot of customers do ask about the cost and how the cost has been calculated in a bill of material. Right? The best place for you to see the Azure cost is the Azure calculator. Right? So Microsoft has all of these tools built in for you. So what I'm going to show you is some of the easy way out to calculate the Azure cost. Right? So these are all transparent cost, which is available publicly. So I'm just going to share this website. So if you select or search in any browser on a search engine, you can see SAP on Azure, and it will direct you to SAP on Azure website, SAP Solutions for Azure. All right. So this particular website has all of the requirements for different landscapes of SAP. All right. And also you can see SAP HANA pricing. So if I look at S4HANA, and you can also see some of the customer case studies as well, which is available. And this is where you can see the pricing, right? So so these are standard SAP HANA platforms that is available. This is to HANA database, okay? So let me choose Southeast Asia, and you can see the Southeast Asia calculator popped up. So in the estimates. So if I, for example, take a 1 TB SAP HANA single instance box, right? I will just open this up. And Azure calculator will automatically open. Okay. And it will show you the exact sizing requirements for to run that 1 TB virtual machine. Okay, so by default, we all know that reserve instance is a must if you're going to run SAP workloads, because no one is going to provision such large SAP HANA boxes, do spend a lot of money to do implementation and then destroy it. Okay, So that's the reason why, in order to do the cost reduction, they always virtual machines go as 3-year reserve instances. Right? So this is how you calculate your optimum cost. In terms of disks, also same. So as you can see, these are standard disks which they have automatically the system calculates it based on the disk structure that is required for SAP HANA. So SAP HANA / data, this is your data disk, which has your database, your log file. There are a few others for shared back and shared directories, and then backup and user side. Right? It is also important that when you have these virtual machines, SAP HANA database, you need to have operating system disk, which is a 128 GB. Right? So you can actually do some sort of calculation as well in this. And you also select if you have your running production, you need to ensure that you have the correct licensing as well. Okay. So SUSE Linux Enterprise with SAP application plus 24/7 support. Ensure that there is a back-to-back support between Microsoft, SUSE, and SAP. Right. So if you raise a ticket, for example, there is some issue with your SAP application. This ticket will be taken by SUSE and Microsoft in order to ensure that you don't have to separately call Microsoft or SUSE to sort out your problem. Right? So at the back end, they have engineers who are working. If you're running on Red Hat, it's the same, because in Microsoft, you raise that ticket. You will have Red Hat engineers staying at Microsoft support center, and they will help out. And if it's related to SAP application, they will escalate that ticket to SAP, right? And they will do that in your backend. You don't have to worry about it. You just have one ticket that they will coordinate and they will handle that. So that is something very important, right? What I found out that in most clouds, people just have the standard SUSE Linux Enterprise for SAP workloads, which is not the case. You do have to pay a slightly higher premium to run SAP applications, but that's where your support and your support comes from all three parties. Okay, it is very important that you select this in terms of cost. In terms of cost reduction, you can't do anything much for the SAP the database because there's a standard costing, but you can actually save cost in disks, right? So as you know, you can also put reserve instances for premium SSDs, right? So if you have a database a disk which is more than 1 TB, you can actually reserve that and get a discount on those as well. So that is something that is important. The second important thing is the right sizing. So it is important that the right size for the application servers are taken care of. Usually the requirement is given to you by the SAP team. I need this much of SAPs, I need this much of CPU, I need this much of RAM. Okay. But what is important is that sometimes they will give you a high capacity. So you do need to juggle around to balance the cost as well. So it is important that the Azure calculator has all the calculation done for a HANA database, but it doesn't have any calculation for a HANA application. So the HANA application is something that you have to do as an Azure architect based on the SAP requirements given by the SAP basis team or the functional team. Right? So there you have to make a judgment or call. What disk I'm going to use? They're asking this much of SAPs, how I'm going to balance that cost. Right? So those things come into play. What is also very important is that since all of this cost is going to be on a 3-year reserve instance or a 3-year plan of implementation, is that you need to have a proper project plan. Right? So let's take for example, SAP ECC migration from an on-premise environment to an Azure environment. Right? Now that has a particular project plan and project approach, right? So you have to get that from your SAP team before you do your costing, right? The reason why I'm saying that is that they will run a sandbox environment for a certain amount of period. That sandbox environment can have multiple iterations, okay? Because when you do a migration project for SAP, it means that they have to at least do two iterations, sometimes three iterations when you're transferring something from a previous SAP landscape to SAP HANA, right? So that's where the cloud comes quite helpful in that manner, because you just need some of these boxes temporary. It could be for 1 month, it could be for 2 weeks, right? And you can take clones of these for each iterations, and you can test it out and you can destroy it. But on premise you can't, right? When you're doing SAP migration, you have to have, you have to buy that hardware upfront, right? But and you might have to spend more, because when you do iterations, you can't sell the hardware back again. So what happens in a project plan is that you have sandbox environment, but sandbox is not just the case, because you have two migration options. One is called vertical migration and horizontal migration. So what it means is that people will start doing migration for development first, and then they will start the QA and finally the production, right? So it is vital that sometimes when you do the calculation based on your project plan, you must understand a juggle between, is pay-as-you-go sometimes more cheaper than a reserve instance, right? It all depends on the project plan, right? How many hours that the VM needs to run, okay, for a particular project, okay? One example is that development, maybe for the first month, you might need to run 24 hours. After that, you need to run only 12 hours, maybe 8 hours, right? So it's like that. So depending on that, you have to balance your Azure calculator. So when you look at a project plan, there are gaps. So that's where your cost saving comes into play. Okay? So if you have an efficient project plan and you should do the costing for that, you will save quite a lot of money, right? So that's what is important. Once you go on production, it's straightforward, because it's a 3-year reserve instance. That's how you save your cost. But for your development and QA, you can actually maybe start and stop 8 hours a day, depending on when they need it, right? It is also important that when you are doing a migration project, you need to consider the project plan itself might not be enough. It's better to keep a provision of a certain amount, because sometimes when you have projects can always extend, right? And sometimes the project timelines can shorten as well, right? So just keep a precaution, some funding extra, just in case that you need that money. Right? So that is one of the points I want to talk about in cost saving. Right? What is also might be useful is that once you run the project on production for some time, you might realize that growth is not as what I predicted. Okay, in that sense, you might able to reduce cost by reducing the size of virtual machines. So in a reserve instance, you can actually scale down, even though that you have done a 3-year reserve, since you are going to scale down on the same series of virtual machines, right? So that's how it is, right? So most of the projects, the migration project can start from 1 month to 2 months before you go live. Right? So that is where you actually start saving your cost. So it is vitally important that there's a correct project plan and you do your costing for your project.